MZTV.
This is how it was in the first century for the believers then, when some from Jerusalem, the old-timers, the official religionists, came into your ecclesia to sweet-talk you out of grace. To the religious person, grace was as unbelievable then as it is to the religious person today. Just incredible. The religious person you see is a proud person, is an arrogant person, is a self-righteous person. And this is the common thread from the first century to today, is that those who believe they must suffer in order to be saved absolutely can't stand that there are any people who are enjoying the same benefits they are, no, even better and greater benefits than they are, without the suffering. It's like, it's not that suffering won't attend a true call of God, it's just that we don't bring the suffering upon ourselves. But the suffering that the circumcision thinks of is suffering in order to get the blessing. And that's something we never have to suffer for. We suffer because we have the blessing. But that's a way different thing, isn't it? They have to suffer to get the blessing. Johnny Green has taken the true gospel, Paul's gospel of the grace of God, which is justification by faith, and he has demoted it. He has destroyed it, and he's reconstructed it into a false gospel. Actually, salvation by works is not a false gospel. That's part of the circumcision gospel. But what he's done is he's retained elements of Paul and added in and built a Frankenstein monster where now you are, he still uses the word justification, and that's the problem. Now he considers we can only be justified by allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. So he's taken justification from a true act of God that was effected by Christ on the cross, and he has demoted it, demeaned it, destroyed it, and rebuilt it as a contributory gospel that requires that we allow. That's a human work. You must allow the Holy Spirit. How is this different than human free will, where we have to allow God to do things? We have to allow God to save us. We have to allow Jesus Christ to come into our lives. We have to invite Jesus into our lives, because he won't come in unless we invite him. It all comes down to you. How is this any different? How is Johnny not promoting human free will here? I mean, he's not saying, oh, no, this is the circumcision gospel. It's a works, grace mixture, but we still have to rely on God to cause us to behave ourselves in this world. No, he's not saying that. He's not saying that. I know none of you can do this without God in your life, without God coming in you to operate for the sake of his delight. No, he's not saying that. He's just saying, do this. And if you're not doing this, you should tremble in fear, because you are not one of his. And I'm telling you, this is exciting in a way, because we're living history right now. We discovered a relic, Johnny Green. It's just the Judaizers come down to modern times. This is the last installment of this. Those of you who are tired of it, but I think it's just fascinating. I think it's just fascinating that we're living, we're getting a taste of history. We are suffering the same things that the Galatians suffered. And we also have the strong among us who are pointing out the problem, highlighting it, exposing and rebuking it, and then spiritually shooting it down in order to protect the saints from the, because some saints are susceptible to it. Not all saints are of the same caliber as far as strength goes. There are saints I know who open the door to every wind of teaching. Well, we owe to hearing. We owe to hear this, man. We should hear that. Somebody just told me, I subscribe to Johnny's channel because of you. Thanks, Martin. It's like, okay, you know, play with fire at your own risk. I'm just saying that this, through the ages, through this current era, I should say, this is seductive teaching. It is seductive teaching that you need to contribute to your salvation. Paul's gospel is so rare, so unusual. So let's continue because I want to finish this. I told you yesterday that it gets worse, and it does. So away we go.
Because they want to love God. They want to accept God. They want to believe, but they don't want to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change and transform their lives. They just want to stay complacent and comfortable walking down that wide path that leads to death. Not many want to take up the cross and live a sacrificial life, being a living sacrifice.
Not many want to take up the cross and lead a sacrificial life. Here we go now. This is Johnny destroying you and building himself up. Not many are willing to take up the cross. In other words, like I have, says Johnny. How have you taken up the cross? Tell us, what did you do that we haven't done? Again, he's challenging us, he's demeaning us, he's shaming us for not taking up the cross. And as I said yesterday, I'll repeat it today. Don't worry, this is almost over. How do you know what crosses we are bearing as members of the body of Christ? What do you think? That because we believe in grace, that we're just off scot-free, we don't have any trials? Because we believe in grace, God gives us a pass, a hall pass. We can go through life without being touched by the evils of this world. You got to be kidding me, man. What is it that you're suffering that we're not? I mean, believe me, I know that you're suffering because you lost your beloved wife, Kathy. And you know, Johnny, I was down there. I visited you and Kathy. I drove 2.5 hours out of my way when I was on my trip to Ohio a couple years ago in order to meet Kathy, your dear wife. And I am so sorry. I was so sorry to hear that she had died. And I grieve with you. And I know you're grieving. And I know that this is something that God has called upon you to bear. And believe me, my heart cries out with you. I hate death. And that is a cross to bear. But Johnny, everyone in the body of Christ is bearing some kind of cross. If not that, then something as deep and as profound as that. And so I don't know exactly what kind of cross you're talking about, because you made this video before Kathy died. And so you're talking about a cross and those not willing to carry a cross. Besides this being a circumcision message, this was a message God gave to Jesus Christ gave to Israel. Pick up your cross. It was a metaphor, of course. It just means that pick up your suffering, follow me wherever I go. But I know you're not aware of this, so if you watch this video, I don't know, but I will tell you, and I will say this as a confirmation to those members of the body of Christ listening to my show, that the death of Christ on the cross was our death. We were crucified with Christ. We don't have to pick up a cross. The cross is done. The cross is over. Our lives, our old humanity was crucified with Christ. You will find all of this in Romans chapter 6, and this is so different than what Jesus said to his disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. And this is why this is just one more difference between the two gospels. Jesus' cross was our cross. Christ's cross was our cross. His death was our death. His entombment was our entombment. His resurrection is our resurrection. And now we are to live lives as though we've been resurrected from the dead. This is what Paul says in Romans 6. We're to be living this truth now. We're not yet resurrected, but we're to be living as though we are resurrected. And that means putting behind us those religious practices of the past, the demands that you're now putting on us to make sure you're suffering enough, make sure you're not too comfortable. But again, you have no idea what crosses we are bearing, the sacrifices we are making in the shadows. Let me play this again, because I'll tell you how you're coming across if you don't know.
Leads to death. Not many want to take up the cross and live a sacrificial life, being a living sacrifice.
Every step, every minute of this life is a sacrificial life, because every one of us you're criticizing has given our lives to God and Christ. We believe God and Christ. And I know you said yesterday, and I proved this, that belief is not enough. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to change your life. Belief is not enough. But we believe it is enough. And we believe that the Holy Spirit causes any faith in us to rise up. It inspires our faith in Jesus Christ's faith. And our walk in spirit began the day we believed, and we became living sacrifices on that day. And you purport to know exactly how a living sacrifice must look, how a life in dedication to God must look. You have your own designs of how it should look. And you're trying to impose your views, which you really haven't told us what they are. I challenged you yesterday to tell us what we're supposed to give up, what we're supposed to not do, how we're supposed to think, what we're not supposed to think, a list of no-nos, so that we can appear to you to be living a life pleasing to God and a sacrificial life. You're coming across as a presumptuous Judaizer, which is even worse than a regular Judaizer. Presumptuous, like, you people need to live a sacrificial life. You people need to pick up your cross. Why? We were crucified with Christ. That's our cross. Let us go on from here.
You may believe, even demons believe.
Wait a minute. I forgot about this part. Wait for it. Here we go.
You may believe, even demons believe and tremble.
We may believe, but even demons believe. My God, man. Now you're putting me and those who watch this show, those members of the body of Christ, on par with demons. You may believe, and then you discount belief as nothing, which is consistent with your entire message. Your new calling to condemn members of the body of Christ. And here's the latest element. You believe. You people think that belief is enough. Oh, I believe, but I don't want to allow the Holy Spirit to transform my life. Now, you're saying that our belief is no greater than the belief of demons. That demons even believe in God. Yes, they do, but they do not believe God. They believe there is a God. They believe there is a Christ. They believe there was a cross that took away the sins of the world, but they don't believe in it. And you are accusing us of having demon-style belief. I don't know how low you can go.
You don't even tremble at God. Most of you. A lot of you. Especially the group that I'm talking to.
Now, I wish I could show you the video, but now, this is the last minute of the video. Now his teeth start to clench. Now he's getting angry. He's getting angry that we don't tremble at God. Especially, he says, especially the group I'm talking to. And who is the group he is talking to? He's talking to me. He mentioned us by name in another video. Talking about me, Scott Hickel, Michael Knotts, Rob Weil, Stephen Janowski, Seth Follenkamp, Wes Follenkamp, those of us who are teachers in this evangel, and others who follow this teaching closely and who are publicly associated with it. You don't even tremble at God, most of you, a lot of you, especially the group I'm talking to. I'll have something to say about that in a moment. Let's listen to the rest of this hideous statement.
You don't tremble when it comes to God. You don't sense any fear when it comes to God because all is allowed you.
You don't sense any fear when it comes to God because all is allowed you. And there it is. You think that because we know and believe, because Paul said so, that all is allowed you. You act like this scripture verse doesn't exist. Like Paul said it, all is allowed me. Paul said it. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All is allowed you. All is allowed me. Is that not truth? Did Paul lie? Not all is expedient. That's true. But that doesn't cancel out the fact that all is allowed me. Like the analogy I gave 2 days ago, saying that all the clothes in my clothing store are allowed for you to take. You can take anything you want. All is allowed you. But not all is going to fit you. And not all is going to look good on you. Does the fact that not all of the clothes here are going to fit you, which is, should be an obvious fact, does that change the other obvious fact that what I said is true, that all is allowed you, you can take anything you want? In fact, it emphasizes the truth of it. The fact that I'm saying it's not all going to look good on you, it's not all going to fit you, that emphasizes the fact that it's all yours, that you can take whatever you want. If I only insisted that you take things that fit you, that are your size, that would limit it, wouldn't it? But when I say not everything's going to look good on you, that proves that my initial offer is unlimited. But you somehow don't believe this is true. And you think that because we believe what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:23, therefore we don't tremble at God. We don't have the proper fear of God. I want to play this again.
You don't tremble when it comes to God. You don't sense any fear when it comes to God, because all is allowed you.
Do you know why you fear? You fear because you are afraid of what God might do to you, of how God might reject you if you live a life, a free life, and you somehow screw up, you somehow sin, and God calls you on your sin. Because you think, because you're living according to the circumcision gospel, but you're using Paul language, you think that you're on probation constantly, and unless you repent of your sins, you're going to be judged and you're not going to make it in aeonian life. That's why you fear. That's why you fear. You think, this is how far off you are, Johnny. You think we don't fear, that we don't tremble at God, because we believe all is allowed us. Therefore, this is your sick mind. I'm sorry, but it's sick in this department. I know you're a great husband and you're a good father. I know that. But you have a sickness in this department. This thing, I'm not saying you're a sick person. You're not a demented person. You're not. Because I know you to be an excellent father and an excellent husband. The best, Johnny. You're the best. I've seen it. I know you. But you have an insidious infection in that you think that an acknowledgement of the truth that all is allowed you will cause you to sin. It's classic. This is the classic Christian objection to Romans 5:20. I'm sure you don't believe that either. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. You don't believe that either. The classic objection comes in Romans 6:1. Well, let's go ahead and sin a bunch so that we can get more grace. That's the classic objection. The classic objection here is that, oh, well, if you people think that all is allowed you, then you can do whatever you want, and so you don't tremble at the judgments of God, which you think are still hanging over our heads. You honestly believe the judgments of God are hanging over our heads, and your heads, and that's why you fear, sir. That is why you fear, because you think the judgments of God are hanging over your heads. Let me tell you something. Let me illuminate you concerning members of the body of Christ, because we're all the same. We fear and tremble at God because of what it took to bring this truth of all is allowed me. We know that that is one of the most radical statements in Scripture. And we know and understand how true it is. But until you know and understand how true it is, you can't even begin to contemplate the price that was paid for that to be true. It was the crucifixion of Christ, the humiliation, the nails, the whips, the spit, the crown of thorns. That is what bought all is allowed you. That is why we are no longer able to be condemned. That's why there is now, therefore, no more condemnation. We do tremble and fear, you self-righteous hypocrite. You just can't detect it because you don't understand us at all. You have no idea the awe and the trembling and the respect that we have toward God in Christ because of what bought that truth. How dare you think that we would take such a magnificent truth as all is allowed me and use it as an occasion for the flesh, without compunction, without any thought to pleasing God. You don't think that pleasing God ever enters into our minds. You are wrong. We want to please God, not because we're afraid of what he might do to us if we don't. That's your fear. We want to please him because of the grace because of the price he paid that all is allowed us, because of the price he paid to justify the irreverent, which you don't believe either. You don't believe God justifies the irreverent. You don't believe where sin increases, grace superabounds. You sure as hell don't believe that all is allowed me. You don't believe any of it. We do, and we tremble at the cost of it. Man, you are so freaking far off. God, what happened to you? Maybe you've always been that way. I don't know.
Oh, what? All was allowed Adam and Eve too. It's the same concept. When Paul says all is allowed me, but not all is beneficial, all was allowed Adam and Eve, but all definitely was not beneficial now, was it? Because the entire earth is now plunged into what we're living in today because of their choice. All was allowed them as well, my friend, just
not
like
really,
you like
friend.
To tote, but that's not what Paul was intending.
Just like you like to tote? I think you mean tout. We don't carry it. We don't tote it. We tout it. This is the part I want to get at. Listen to this. Let me play it again.
All was allowed them as well.
No, it wasn't.
My friend, just like you like to tote, but that's not what Paul was intending for you to take from that passage of Scripture.
What was he intending us to take? And again, it's tout, not tote. Listen, do you realize what Johnny is saying here? All is allowed you, just like you like to tout. Just like you people like Martin Zender like to brag, like to constantly say that all is allowed. Yes, we do love to constantly say it because we are amazed and astounded that an ex-Pharisee could say this, that a man who lived his life trying to do everything right and living constantly according to the law and failing according to the law, that a man like that could come to the place to say, all is allowed me. What a transformation. What a transformative experience this man had. Yeah, we call it the road to Damascus. Your road to Damascus experience is still ahead, apparently, sir. Just like you like to tout. Well, why wouldn't we tout it? Paul, what do you think Paul's doing here? He's touting it. You think we should be embarrassed of it? You like to tout. Tout is what you meant. It's T-O-U-T, not T-O-T-E. But anyway, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? This is not the worst.
Nor anything else that you take from him, which excuses your sin.
Nor anything else you take from Paul, which excuses your sin. Oh my God, listen to this. I'm going to finish with this because, hang on, folks.
All was allowed them as well,
really?
My friend, just like you like to tote. But that's not what Paul was intending for you to take from that passage of Scripture, nor anything else that you take from him, which excuses your sin.
Which excuses your sin. Did I hear you correctly? We are taking things from Paul that excuse our sin. We don't take anything from Paul that excuses our sin. What we take from Paul is what justifies our sin. Justifies our sin. That's what we take from Paul. And this is what you don't know anything about. Our sin is justified. Our sins are justified. Everything we have done is right because of the great alchemy of the cross, which turns wrongs into rights. That's what we take from Paul. You think we use Paul to justify our sin? Dude, we're not even sin-oriented. We don't think about this all day like you do. We don't sit around and dredge up our failures and put them under a microscope and repent 57 times a day. We don't do that like you do. We don't use Paul to excuse our sin. We use Paul. Yeah, we use him. We use him. We use the guy. He was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he says that we were justified and that he justifies the irreverent. And he put this treasure in earthen vessels that the transcendence of the power may be of him and not of us. We use Paul to justify our sin. We don't need Paul to excuse our sin. Do you know what excuses our sin? Buckle up, Johnny. Adam excuses our sin. Not that it's excused in a judicial sense. In a judicial sense, it's justified. But as in Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Through one man, sin entered the world. That's it. That's the verse I want. Through one man, sin entered the world. Romans 5. One man, sin entered the world. That's our excuse for sin. You think we're using Paul to excuse our sin? No, we use Adam. He's the reason we're all sinners. But Johnny, Romans 5, 18 and 19, 1 Corinthians 15, 22, Christ is greater than Adam. And the resurrected Christ, who had shed his juice, was the one you're not familiar with. He's the one who told Paul that he is justifying the irreverent. And he's justifying those who believe, period. Believe without acts, believe without works, believe without allowing or not allowing the Holy Spirit to do this or that in our lives.
There are only two paths you can go on. And unless you're living a life pleasing to the Father, having a heart that is pleasing to the Father, desiring to have a heart and a life that is pleasing to the Father, if you don't desire that, then you are on the path that leads to death. And you better pray to God that you get off that path.
Boy, I like how you condemn us with this nice music. It goes down a lot better, Johnny. It's fantastic. We better be pleasing God. Unless you're living a life pleasing to the Father, voice shaking. Having a heart that is pleasing to the Father, teeth grinding. Desiring to have a heart and life pleasing to the Father, forehead furrowing. If you don't desire that, then you are on the path that leads to death. And you better pray to God you get off that path. You know what, Johnny? We're pleasing the Father by what? By believing what his Son did. That's what pleases the Father. By accepting what his Son did for our sin. That pleases the Father big time. He's very happy about that. That we are living in this freedom. That we don't worry about our sins. He's happy about that. That's how we're pleasing him. We're not pleasing him by obedience. We're pleasing him by believing what his Son did on the cross. What does the Father hate? He hates that you are trying to bring the condemnation of the Old Testament back upon people who are saved by Christ, by the message of grace that is touted and toted by the resurrected Christ. Johnny, I pray for you. I really do. I love you. I can't call you brother right now. I thought you were my brother, but I pray that you educate yourself on the principles of the body of Christ, on the principles of grace, on the principles of justification by faith alone. I encourage you to read First Idiot in Heaven. If you don't want to read anything written by me, then order the Concordant Commentary from concordant.org. I know you're always touting repentance, but you think that we have to repent in order to be saved for aeonian life. We just have to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sin, and thus our sins are as far away from us as the east is from the west. Why would we have to repent? I meant to put a verse in here. From Romans, chapter 4, verse 8, happy the man to whom the Lord by no means should be reckoning sin. Happy the man to whom the Lord should by no means be reckoning, should by no means be reckoning sin. That's us. We're happy. He's not reckoning our sin to us. So how can we repent? Why would we repent of something that's not reckoned to us by God? It's you that need to repent. You need to repent of mixing these gospels up. Please stop. Please stop making videos and regroup, because you're digging yourself in a deeper hole. Just stop and regroup. Study Paul's gospel. Order my book, Zender on Romans. It's volume 1. Chapters 1 through 4, that'll tell you all you need to know. Please, I say this to help you. You need to repent of this. Because this mixed gospel is this, Paul calls an anathema on it serious. It's very serious, or else I wouldn't be going to this trouble. It's very serious. Paul calls down the anathema on it.
It's a false teaching to mix these two gospels. That's what you need to repent of. You're the one that needs to repent. Johnny, I was at your house, man. I was standing right there with you where you made the Adam and Eve video. I was standing right there. The video I've been critiquing, I was standing in that yard with you. We had a cigar and we had great times together. I don't know what happened. It seems to me you've been captured by a cult, a Yeshua cult that is based on the circumcision. But because you had an acquaintance with Paul, you're not distinguishing between Paul and the circumcision. And this is causing all the problem. This is why I call you a Judaizer, because you're doing exactly what the first century circumcisionists did. They snuck into Paul's ecclesias, spying out their freedom and then challenging them to change and condemning them if they didn't. That's exactly what you're doing to us. Please, Johnny, stop making videos for now and regroup. I know you can be a good teacher. I encouraged you before. I'm the one who encouraged you to make videos. Remember that? I encouraged you to make videos. Now you're using these videos to turn on me and other members of the body of Christ and condemn us for not living lives pleasing to you, really. Because we know we're living lives pleasing to God, because we couldn't be more pleased with the sacrifice of Christ, as I ended the video with. I just wanted to put this postscript on here because I'm done with this topic for now. I want to tell you that I love you and I care for you. And I loved Kathy as well. And I love Caitlin. And I just pray that, you know, this misunderstanding, this mixing of the two gospels can stop. So I won't have to make these videos, because the saints are confused. When you publish these things, people watch them and they're confused. And like Paul had to stomp out the mixed gospel, the bastard gospel. He had to stomp it out in the first century. Any teacher today worthy of his soul has to do the same thing. So that's why I'm doing it. It's not because I don't love you. It's because I do.